is that we're in a place where you almost can't blame people for the way that we communicate on such a very surface level. Because technology has come to the point where it's just so easy to kind of have a you know, the drive-by like, where you just click the like button, or you click, you know, now you can, on Facebook, you can do the sad button, you know. But I mean, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook all have that like button where you can just click a like button and you don't have to actually have any kind of interaction. And so we're in this place where we're really not, we're being set up to not connect. And so we have to be, first of all, vigilant and aware of the fact that the people that we're seeing have lives just like we do.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 96, with author and award-winning speaker, Felicia Slattery.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show today. Thanks for dropping in. Hope you're having a great one where you're at. Maybe that's gym, maybe that's in the car, maybe you're taking a long walk, who knows. But I'm your host, JC Preston, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Veronica Kieran, and we're part of the team at New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people create their own personal freedom. And in this podcast released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. In this particular session, we're talking to an author that I've come to like quite a bit recently, and having grown up and living in the Chicago area a good part of her life, Felicia Slattery finds herself now in Knoxville, Tennessee. So she is a neighboring Midwesterner. Over the years, she has been on hundreds of radio interviews, stages, other podcasts, and TV, and truly has a gift in connecting with people. And today she's in the process of finishing up her new book, which deals with creating real relationships. The word real there is a double meaning acronym, which you'll find out more about in today's conversation. Other things we discuss in today's chat include how Felicia got into speaking early on, how people can stop talking at each other and more so with each other. We also discuss how people can get more comfortable with doing live social media videos of themselves. And I mean, let's face it, there's so many of us who, when we're looking at these social media videos anymore, that we're like, oh, that's good for them. I cannot put myself in front of that video because it's public speaking, because I know that there's going to be hundreds of people, maybe 10,000s of people, depending on who you are, that are going to be listening to this live. And, you know, the thing is that some of us are really still afraid of public speaking. So we're going to kind of go into that and kind of maybe give you a little bit of a change of mindset and how to get over that fear. And speaking of social media, we chat about the do's and don'ts in building good relationships online. So definitely a lot of good stuff in this one. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy everything we're talking about. So this session is powered once again by our friends at Fizzle.co. Those of us in the States this past week, especially last week, enjoyed the 4th of July weekend. And for me, you know, it's a time to think about what living in this country means, but especially makes me think about a word that's become ever more important to me in recent years, a word called freedom. Personal freedom is what New Inceptions is all about. And the simplest way to get that freedom is to build a business that supports who you are and what you want to do in your own time. And to many, though, this sounds like a fantasy. And because of that, so many people don't ever get started because it's difficult and there's really no guarantees that anything is ever going to work out. So I have to tell you, it is possible to do. And as you've heard on the show, people are finding success all over the world and web and finding their own path. And you can be one of those success stories if you want to be. You just got to put in the work. Through that success, though, you'll find that it's totally worth it. And as we discussed with Gregory Diehl in session 95, you'll find yourself along that journey. And that's really why I host this show, because I want to help build awareness that this independent life isn't a pipe dream. If you want to go to the next step and go deeper and start your own journey, you don't have to do it alone. You can be a part of a membership community that won't let you quit. And maybe you want to go faster, have more guidance, or have access to training courses. And the thing is that Fizzle has all of that as part of their membership community. Seriously, if you need to know something today, guidance for your next step, or insanely valuable feedback on what you're doing or coaching calls, it's all available there, and it only costs around $1 a day. Try it out today for 5 weeks free by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. And again, that's newinceptions.com/fizzle. Okay, so as per the usual, show notes are available at newinceptions.com/96, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here, and today's co-host is Veronica Karen. Thanks for joining us today. How are you doing, Veronica?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. One of the things that, you know, is a big issue that many folks have who, you know, who want to start their business or do something meaningful with their time. You know, they have problems doing it because they're distracted by lots of different stimuli, including social media, videos, video games, and you name it. And when used in excess, they prevent us from really living life. And what matters most oftentimes gets drowned out by all this noise that's going on. You know, I know that a lot of kids that, frankly, if they don't have, you know, some sort of device in their hand, that they just kind of get, they don't know what to do with their time. And it's just kind of worrisome to me. And one of the things that, you know, those distractions keep us from is building relationships. And for creatives like us, relationships are key to getting recognized, getting business, you know, and frankly, living your life purpose, because you don't know what's out there if you're being a consumer all the time. If you're being a consumer all the time, you can't be a creative. So today we're actually going to be talking with someone that I believe a lot of our audience is going to get plenty from, because, you know, she helps folks at all levels, from CEOs and celebrities to us small business owners, connect with others on a more human level. And whether this is online, like many of us have to do these days, or from stage or elsewhere, she helps folks live their best lives by helping them serve others better. And Felicia Slattery is our guest today, and we're really happy to be able to share her with our audience. So, hey, Felicia, how are you doing today?
Hey, JC, I'm doing great, thanks. Hi, Veronica, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, thank you.
I hear it's your birthday.
It is, so I'm extra fantastic today.
Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
I am honored to be here.
What does a successful entrepreneur / author do on their birthday?
Oh, podcast interview.
Podcast interview. Anything else special going on for your treats today?
Oh, gosh. Well, then after I've worked a little this morning, and you know, I had the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of birthday gifts or birthday greetings on Facebook and social media. So right. I actually like to try to keep up with those and say thank you to everybody, and, you know, put a little smiley face or a little thank you or something. So that's like a full-time job for the day, but then I'm headed out and I'm going to get my nails did, a little mani-pedi action, maybe a little eyebrows, maybe a little massage. The kids and my husband are going to make dinner, and I hear there's a cake involved. So lots of fun things today.
Perfect. Cool.
So how are things down there, neighbor to the south? I mean, what, anything big in the news or anything awesome going on?
You know, I live in Knoxville, and it's interesting. I came from Chicago, Chicagoland. I was in the suburbs, But the Chicago news is a lot like the national news, where there's like so many things happening, and they start with all the like horrible stuff, and you never really get to like the fun little nitty gritty types of things. Well, the cool thing about being in Knoxville is we have our own. We've got all the major networks here, but we're a little market, and so we see stuff on the news like the Relay for Life is happening today. Did you know that? I did.
Oh, cool.
And it's at this time, and it's at this park, and you know, every weekend they've got another festival, it seems like, going on right now. We're, you know, entering the summer festival season, and the weather is just absolutely gorgeous. And it gets warm early here, which I just love, and it's so nice. So I love living here. There's always something really cool going on, and because we're a smaller market, so there's less, you know, less horrible news. Somebody died, somebody was, you know, house fire, you know, whatever horrible things happen. It's like I get to see all the good news and all the happy kind of fun human interest stories that are around town. So it's really good. I'm really happy here, and a lot of fun stuff always going on.
Up here in Indy, we actually have our Fox 59 AM station. They're notorious for giving good news all the time, it seems like, because they're kind of constantly like bantering each other. And one guy, he goes out and, you know, kind of checks out the different business, like new businesses around town, and or he'll like go to, you know, again, festivals, or just, you know, just really what's going on around town. And I think it really, when you have a station that does that, it definitely makes your larger city feel like more of a knit community. So that's cool that you guys got that.
It is. It's really nice. And like I said, you know, coming from Chicago to here, it's a bit of a culture shock. And I gotta say, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you originally from Chicago then, or were you?
I was born in Philadelphia, and we moved. My dad got transferred when I was 10. So I pretty much lived in the Chicago area my whole life until the last year and a half when we moved.
Gotcha. And what was it like growing up there?
Oh my gosh. It was great. I mean, it was a very typical suburban life. Mm-hmm. You know, mom stayed home and dad went to work, and, you know, I did all kinds of fun school activity types of things, and was active on the speech team in high school, which actually led to my career today. So I'm grateful for having, you know, had the opportunity to do that. And, actually it was fun. I was saying to my mom earlier today that it's having a birthday and being on Facebook is like, if you ever want to feel special, just make thousands of friends, then wait till your birthday. I've had people from my whole life all over, you know, aunts and uncles and people from around the world, and grade school friends and high school friends and college friends, and, you know, everybody since then. And just it's so cool. And people are like reminding me of different, you know, fun things that we did, and you just funny jokes that I had from youth group. And, you know, one of my friends from grade school said, "Happy birthday, old friend." I was like, "Hey, who are you calling old?" He's like, "Well, I've known you for a long time." Like, I know. Kidding. I kid. So anyway, but yeah, growing up in the Chicago suburbs was idyllic. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better childhood.
And you said that you got started in your career through going through, you say the debate team or?
Speech team. Well, when I was seven, I actually had the opportunity to stand up and read at church. And there was hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 people there that day. And I was so excited. I was like, "Mommy, I want to do more of this." And she was like, okay. She had no idea what to do next. But I tried out for every play and was in all the school plays. And then when I got to high school, I did the same thing, tried out for a play. And the director of the play was also the guy running the speech team. And he said, Papa Bear Gerace, we used to call him. He said, "If you want to be in this play, you have to be on my speech team." And I said, "Okay, what's a speech team?" And so he told me about it. And I said, "That sounds great." And it's basically it's a competition where, depending on the event you do, there's a number of different, they call them IE, individual events. And every weekend over the course of the season, you go to different schools and compete against other kids with your typically prepared material, unless it's a limited prep event. And then like impromptu was one of the events that I did. Cool. My second time out, I got first place.
Holy smokes.
I know. Wow. So kind of destined to do the work I do, standing in front of people and speaking today.
So did you go to school for communication then?
I did. Okay. I did. Yeah, I went to Bradley University for my undergrad degree, and Bradley is the winningest speech team in the nation. In fact, they've won more national championships in speaking than any other school has won in any other thing. So, like, think like Duke and basketball and national championships.
Right.
Bradley's won more national championships in speaking than, again, any school, any dynasty for anything. So, it's really an honor to be part of that legacy. So, I got to go there, was recruited, and got a scholarship and did that for the duration of being there, and competed and then judged and taught at the college level myself, taught public speaking and communication skills, and just really have had an amazing life. And all of it's because of being able to stand in front of people and say some stuff.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's just funny to me. I'm always learning on this show. For one, I didn't even know that was a, considered a sport activity, I guess, but that you can actually get a scholarship for it. Wow.
yeah, for That's sure. So cool. I mean, it felt like a sport. We would run between rounds on college campuses and be like, why would they put these in these buildings that are like a mile apart? Here we go. We'd be dressed up in our presentation wear, which basically was like business suits and dresses and heels. And it was like, oh my gosh, I had to hike across campus. But so it kind of felt like a sport. But yeah, it was very competitive for sure. In fact, we used to say our tagline was, if you're not a part of the steamroller, you're a part of the road. So like, we were that. Serious.
It's so serious funny
about winning. Yeah.
How did you make the transition? How did you go from college to saying that this is something that you wanted to pursue, as an interest, really?
Sure. Well, I started my business when my daughters were babies. They were 1 and 3. And I was teaching communication courses, like every communication course you could teach. And when I started, I wanted to be home with my kids. And so I figured, well, what looked around, what could I do? And at the time, I thought I was a life coach because I was really interested in helping people have and live better lives. And the people that had the biggest impact on them in my classes were folks in the interpersonal communication classes and the classes where I taught conflict resolution and leadership skills and these types of things. And so I thought, I'll work with people individually on this. And so I did. And then I started to interact with folks on social media. And about 9 months later, and I was answering questions about public speaking, because again, this was my whole life, and public speaking was, certainly I taught every public speaking course a person could ever teach. And, at this point in my life, I've either given, written, or critiqued more than 8,000 speeches in my career. So, I mean, like, speaking for me is like brushing your teeth to anybody else. It's so, so easy. And I saw people on social media asking questions all the time about public speaking, or I have a speech coming up and I don't know what to do, or I'm feeling nervous, or, how do I start, or like whatever. And I was like, really? And I would just answer the questions just like anybody would answer any question that you would see posed on social media if you knew how to help somebody. And I started doing this more and more and more and more. And somebody was like, could you teach us how to do this public speaking thing? And I was like, no, I'm a life coach. So, and then I had a coach say to me, you should really look at teaching, the public speaking stuff. And I was like, I don't know. Everybody knows how to do that. They had it in high school, or, if they went to college, they had it there. And they were like, yeah, you might want to look around and think about that. And that's really, again, that was close to a year after I had started my business, when I realized, I guess people do need help with this thing that for me just comes so easily. And so I started teaching public speaking, but the way I taught it was from a true communication perspective. And it's always been about, how do you connect with people and build a connection? And I call it service from the stage. How do you serve people from the stage? And so the people that I would meet from being on stage and my training and teaching them and the books that I've written and all of that, I would continually interact with people. And so as I'm building my business as a professional speaker, teaching other people to put together their speeches and their speaking businesses and their businesses using speaking to build their business and all of these things, I keep getting the same kind of question and the same kind of feedback. Felicia, you connect with people in a way that I've not seen others do it. And can you, like, how do you do that? How are you doing that? And I got that kind of question enough times that I decided, you know what, I'm going to write a book about that. Because it's really not that hard. It's really old-fashioned communication that we just forgot how to do because technology is there. And so that's where the real relationship challenge comes into being, is because we have a challenge. And the challenge is, how do you be in real relationship with people who maybe you've never even met, or maybe you met once and, you know, think that might be cool to, like, know these people or get to know more about them or whatever, but how do you stay connected with them in this overly connected technological world? So that's kind of been the evolution of my business, where I came from and where I am today. Mm.
Gotcha. So kind of going into the crux or the meat of the conversation here, you know, a buddy of mine that I've had on the show a couple of times, his name is Cam Adair, and, you know, he helps folks get off their addiction and gaming. And one of the things that you're talking about all the time is helping people not necessarily talk at each other, but really build relationships. And really interested in your perspective on this, because, you know, with him, he'll talk about in his videos how people are making connections with people that are online, but they're not really, really building real connections.
Mm-hmm.
You're building relationships with these guild members and they're offline somewhere, but you're really not building those close relationships for the most part. And I'm not saying that you can't do that, because I've also had a guest on the show before that, you know, he actually goes on holidays after being a gamer with these friends of his. But for the most part, when you're hopping online and playing a video game, you're just playing with the people that are there, and you're not really spending, you know, getting to know those people. So that being said, you know, one of my favorite books that is by John Maxwell is called Everyone Communicates and Few Connect. And I'm really interested to hear your perspective on how people, again, how can they stop talking to each other in online modes and start building better relationships?
Well, you know, I love John Maxwell stuff too, by the way. and, you know, we're in a place where you almost can't blame people for the way that we communicate on such a very surface level, because technology has come to the point where, you know, like you said, with the gaming example, I mean, you don't see these people, and, you know, you're competing against them. And, you know, I'm not a gamer at all. So I was going to say not a big gamer, but, like, not a gamer at all. But, you know, and it's really the same on social media, where I spend a lot of time and effort communicating with people and being in touch with people. And it's just so easy to kind of have a you know, the drive-by like, where you just click the like button, or you click, you know, now you can, on Facebook, you can do the sad button, you know. But I mean, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook all have that like button, where you just click a like button and you don't have to actually have any kind of interaction. And so we're in this place where we're being set up to not connect. And so we have to be, first of all, vigilant and aware of the fact that the people that we're seeing have lives just like we do. They have, you know, they have issues and challenges like we do. They have wins and losses and things that they're excited about and things they're sad about. And, you know, they're experiencing the fullness of being a human being every bit as much as we are. And you just have that in the front of our minds when we're talking to people. And if you want to develop a real relationship, you've got to make it, you've got to be conscious about it. You've got to be aware of it. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I was reading through your one sheet before we hopped on this podcast, and I have a personal connection to your work. It's interesting to me reading what you've been doing because I'm somebody who both owns a tech company and also is in the middle of writing a book about how disruptive technology has become for our society. So kind of like this dueling personality within myself. And I found in my book, I'm trying to write about what you're calling real relationships that, like, I'm finding it hard to do because to people who are on social media or have grown up with social media and any other form of technological relationship. So for some, their social media is much more like in the gaming world because that's where they see all their friends and they interact. I find it very difficult to try to extrapolate what a real relationship actually is for people who feel that those relationships are just as real as the face-to-face one-on-one conversation where you're hearing somebody's voice and you're smelling them and you're seeing them. Hopefully they smell good. But that's all a part of it. You're smelling the environment you're both in. And so I'd love for you to break down what real relationships means to you and that acronym that you've been using in order to build on that.
Yeah. Well, so REAL, R-E-A-L, is actually an acronym for two different things. One is what you do when you're in a real relationship. And then the second one is how it feels when you're in a real relationship. So the first REAL is what you do. And just REAL is when you respect, you engage, you affirm, and you laugh. So that these are the things that you do, right? So when you are in a real relationship with somebody, you respect them. You engage with them. So it's not, and I'm not saying, by the way, it's not, you know, I'm not saying you have to comment on every single post that you see on social media that you, you know, think that you like, or you think is funny. Like, it's okay to click the like button, but you need to engage at some point. You know, you can't just go on social media and like, oh, I'm going to post my thing and, you know, my link to go buy my stuff and just like a whole bunch of posts that I happen to see. Like, that's not being social on social media. So you know, really engage.
Very mindless.
Yeah, exactly. Don't do it in, you know, or when people comment on your stuff, like, don't just like what they say. I mean, again, there's, you know, certain parameters. I mean, if you write something and you've got 300 comments, you're not necessarily going to be able to, you know, have a meaningful engagement with all 300 of those comments. So yeah, you can click the like button some of those times, but for most of us, most of our social media interactions, we're getting 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, you know, 10, if we have a lot of comments. Like, well, certainly you can interact with those. Certainly you can respond, you know, to 4 or 5 people who took a second out of their day to say something to you, and you could say something back that's not, you know, that's not just a standard answer, but like something that says, I read what you wrote, I acknowledge what you've written, and I'm going to respond using words that make sense. So, yeah. You know, that's what engaging is. Affirming, to me, affirming is, you know, when somebody says, is it only me, or, you know, whatever, and they say, you know, I'm feeling like this, or, you know, that moment when, like, people are putting those things out there because they want to be affirmed. They want to be validated. And so it's like in those moments, cheer people on. Say, you know, say you're happy for them when they share their happy kids stories, their proud mom and dad moments, their, you know, the funny things that their dog did, or, you know, like, affirm them, just be there, you know, and when you see those kinds of posts, people ask for prayers or something's happening in my life. Like, you know, if it's somebody that you know, and we connect with people on social media for all different kinds of reasons, but if it's somebody that you know, or what they're going through is something that you've been through, well then affirm that situation. You know, I had something like that happen with me, and, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. You know, we lost whatever, you know, people post, they lose pets sometimes, you know, and, you know, that happened to us, you know, my gosh, I'm so sorry. You, like, just whatever, right? Something like that. And then what else do you do when you're in a real relationship, when you're with people that you like in the world that you're seeing face to face and apparently smelling? You do what you just did. You laugh with them, right? We laugh when we get together with our friends, with the people that we like. Well, why wouldn't you laugh with your social media people too, right? So, you know, look for opportunities to laugh with people as well. And so that's what we do in a real relationship, whether we're face to face, whether we're communicating digitally, you know, using the technologies that are available to us. We're doing those things. And then how it feels when you're in a real relationship. You know you're in a real relationship when you feel recognized, energized, accepted, and loved. That's the R-E-A-L there. You feel recognized. You feel like, wow, this is, you know, on my birthday, hundreds and hundreds of comments like, wow, I feel recognized, especially by the people who've gone out of their way to remind me of a time of, you know, like I said, like people reminding me of things that we did when we were kids, or, you know, aunts or uncles from around the world saying, I remember when you were a baby, you know, whatever. Like those are real kinds of engagements. And I feel recognized, you know, I feel energized by that. When you're with people you like, that you're in a real relationship, we're energized by that. We enjoy that. That's why so many of us go to various events in our industry so that we can see people that understand us, that get us, that know what we deal with on a daily basis, what we're going through, because it's energizing to be around people like that. You know, we feel accepted. And we feel loved, just like when you're with people who you care about and you know that they love you. And I'm not, you know, not loved in a weird way or not loved in a, you know, well, only my spouse way. But I mean, there's lots of stories about people who meet at work all the time and fall in love and get married. And, you know, people who meet virtually and fall in love and get married. So, yes, there's some of that. But also you can love your friends and love the people that you work with and love the people in your industry and just love what they're doing and feel that coming back to you as well.
Right.
I love how you've extrapolated from our conventional relationships. If you know, put that, I'm virtually quoting my hands right now, virtual relationships, conventional relationships. And so, you know, pre-technology, pre-virtual relationships, and said, okay, like what was it that made those relationships so important, so poignant? What is the feeling that we're just kind of like missing a little bit on social media or get trained out of us, really? Because I think exactly what you're speaking to, the like button is so easy. And so then we get trained into just using the like button as if that's true engagement, even though it's actually not. But I noticed personally for me that, you know, having a tech company and then also writing a book these days ends up on the computer. So I'm spending a lot of time on the computer and I started getting into that training. I started noticing that I wasn't seeing my friends that often, mm-hmm. or if I was, you know, it was in passing. We're all so busy. And I started to feel lonely, even though I was seeing them online all the time. Mm-hmm. I was starting to get really lonely. And so I started hosting monthly brunches to have all of these busy people over so that we could just spend the entire Sunday together, as long as they all have, to catch up and to see each other and to get those personal experiences that sometimes get thrown to the wayside on social media.
That's such a great idea.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm curious though, like if there's anything that you can think of that people can be doing either on social media. I love that you broke some of our actions down onto social media, but then how might we also be more mindful in our personal relationships and lives? And so we get more real relationships.
Well, so there's a couple of things. I mean, using the tools that are available to us. For example, you can, one of my connections, work connections, started a group this week for entrepreneurs who she's calling creative entrepreneurs. But she's looking at people who are experiencing anxiety, depression, and ADHD. And it's a group specifically for those kinds of folks. And she invited people and she explained why and that kind of thing. So being, having a group of people who are like you, who you can share even more fully, is a great use of the technology. Another one that a lot of people haven't really even started to experiment with, even though the technology has been around now for well over a year, is doing live video. And live video is a way that you can connect with people almost like being with them face to face, that also will live beyond you being there live and will still have that same, we're here in the same space at the same time feeling. Because when people are on live video, especially on like a Periscope or on Facebook, and those who have the availability on YouTube right now, and they can come on and there's folks popping in and they're saying, hey, how are you? Oh my gosh, love your hair today. Or, you know, I don't know if they're saying that to you, JC, or not, but you know, but you know, like they're engaging with you because you are there in the same place at the same time. And you can engage back by reading those comments out loud and saying, oh my gosh, thanks, you know, or whatever. And so it's, that's another way to use the technology, which, by the way, you can do those live streams inside groups. You can do them on your business page. You, and as you can do them, of course, on your main, you know, on your main personal profile as well. So, this is with Facebook. So that, so those are ways to use the technology. And then I love what you said, about, again, being mindful, Veronica, and saying, you know what, how can I get all these busy people together? And if they know that once a month on a Sunday, we're getting together at my house, people can plan for that. Yeah. And they can, you know, and they know that this is what's going to happen. So coming up with, you know, whether it's your real friends that you say, hey, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to have brunch on Sunday at my house, or we're going to barbecue at my house once, you know, the second Saturday of every month, plan on it, gang. You know, we're going to meet out for coffee every Saturday morning at this coffee house in town, or whatever the place, you know, whatever it is, or doing it more officially with a meetup group. You know, either way, that allows you to take those relationships that are important to you and really prioritize them and see people and make the time to be with them face to face. I mean, that's the, you know, just a couple of examples of ways that you can do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I have a question in regards to what you were just talking about, Facebook Live and Periscope. I think a lot of one of the reasons that people, I know that Facebook wants to have people use this feature like crazy, otherwise they wouldn't have made their one of their first ads about Facebook Live. However, I see a lot of people, and you seem like the person that would definitely be able to answer this question. I feel a lot of people see Facebook Live as being in front of, you know, on a stage in front of people. And I think that there has to be a way to deal with that feeling. But I feel that it's holding back a lot of people. And I don't know, do you have anything that might, you know, a little bit of a perspective that might be able to help people change their feeling on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a few training courses specifically about this. And one of the things that I tell people is, the same exact way you would treat people if you were on a stage, using the same philosophy that I teach called service from the stage. You're there in service of the people who are watching you, the people who are in the room there. Well, it's the same with Facebook Live. Some of them will be watching you live. By far, the greatest percentage of the people who will be watching those videos will be after you're live. And so what can you do to serve those people, and why are you there? And so for those of us who are using Facebook for our businesses, and we're making Facebook Live for our businesses, absolutely you can deliver some content that's of value. You can also do fun things that would just be something engaging. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So one thing that I like to do is wherever I happen to be, if I have something that's top of mind that I'm seeing, and I go, you know what, this would be really, like in the past, I might go, that would make a good blog post, and I might make a note of it, and then later on, maybe I would write about it, or maybe I wouldn't, right? Well, now, because of Facebook Live, I can flip on my camera and go, hey, this is where I am, this is what I'm doing, and I was thinking of you because blah, 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 and here's the lesson in that. Here's what I learned. So you tell a story about yourself, and then you make the turn, I call it, and make it about your audience then. So like, why am I telling you the story, and why are we all in this medium together at this moment? And so, you know, give them the moral of the story or whatever it is that, you know, what's the takeaway that you want people who are following you, interested in you, interested in your work, what do you want them to know? And I did this myself a couple of years ago. I challenged myself to make a video a day for 30 days. And they were pre-recorded videos because there was no Facebook Live at the time. But I was shocked at, I did it specifically for my business, but I was shocked at how many personal friends and people who I knew and still know outside of business commented on those and were sending me private messages. And wow, you've motivated me so much. And I'm so inspired. And thank you for your messages every day. And I really feel like, you know, people who had been going through a dark time, like, you know, I really feel like I can, you know, I can do something again. And you inspired me to go get a job. Now, listen, I have never inspired anybody to get a job. I don't talk about that at all. I mean, if anything, I'm talking about entrepreneurship. God bless people. If you have a job and you love it, and that's awesome. Like, hooray. And if you want to, you know, be an entrepreneur, awesome. Hooray for that. Like, whatever, wherever right. you happen to be. But, you know, I never would make a video like, go get a job. But this, you know, like, but this person was, you know, motivated to do that. And it was because of what I, you know, one of the stories that I shared and one of the things that came to mind. And that was the value that she found in it. So, you know, that's just an example. And then another thing that I did, which was just a silly, fun thing, is one of my connections, a business-related friend, he was a former chef before he started doing marketing kinds of things. And he made that same week or the week before, he made a recipe for shrimp scampi that I grew up Italian. And he put stuff in there that my Italian family would never put in a shrimp scampi. And I was like, you crazy. So I did a Facebook Live where I made my own shrimp scampi recipe, and hundreds of people watched me cooking and talking to them and interacting with them. And I mean, like, it was crazy. My husband was filming me, that's how old I am. But my husband had my, you know, had my phone and was, you know, holding the camera while I was cooking. And my older daughter was supposed to be gone for a few hours. And, you know, my phone was getting texts while I was on video. And he was like, wait, Grace is calling and she's texting. I'm like, okay, I'm on live here. He's like, oh, she's ready to be picked up now. I'm like, so he gave the phone to was she 11 at the time? My 11-year-old. So suddenly it went from my husband 6'4" to my 11-year-old daughter height. So the phone was like crazy. And, you know, and I was just laughing along with it. And I was like, come in here, look at the, you know, like, come on, honey, show them the food. You know, she's in there. And it was just fun. And it was funny, and it was engaging, and I was talking to people and they were talking back and they're like, wow, this looks really good, or what did you put in that? Or, you know, I mean, yes, I have a food blog, but only because that's the only way I can remember the recipes that I put together. Food is a hobby for me, so, you know, I just use the technology that's available to me to make my life easier. When I'm with my mother-in-law, she doesn't have to, you know, where was that fish taco recipe? She knows. She can go to my food blog and find my fish taco recipe. She doesn't have to wait for me to email her back. So anyway, you know, but it's not like I'm not driving traffic or trying to make money from my food blog. So it wouldn't have made sense business-wise for me to make a video about me, you know, making shrimp scampi. But it was in connection with somebody else who had done that. And, you know, he laughed and I laughed. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, like, you're an idiot. Why would you make shrimp scampi with capers? You know, it wasn't that. But it was because who does that? But anyway, you know, like, he wasn't upset. I was like, this is how we made it in my Italian family. He's like, well, this is how we made it in the kitchens where I got paid. I was like, well, okay. You know, we just had fun with it. And our viewers had fun with it. And that's, you know, that's what it is to be in a real relationship and allow people to see you being real.
Gotcha.
That's awesome.
These are the things to do and building relationships online. Let's talk about some of the things not to do.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going to irritate people when you're on social media.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
All right, so I have a list of five things that I talk about that will instantly block any kind of true connection. So the first one is sending that chain mail or, you know, chain, those chain letters we used to do in the 70s and 80s that used to send people and write, you know, make copies of these and send them out to 10 of your friends. Well, it's super easy to do that now because all you have to do is push the stupid forward button, you know, and then in the 80s, it wasn't the 80s, it was the 90s that we were able to do it with email. Well, now you can do it on social media. And as people hate that, like getting those private messages, copy and send this to 10 of your friends, you know, or else blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, for goodness sakes, really? People hate that. They hate
it. What was the name? The most popular one, I think, was called Forever Dared or something like that. You'd get it in your locker and you'd have to send it out or you're never going to love. You'd never find your crush or something. Ridiculous. And so everybody did it and it kept going around and around.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
and now I see them on social media all the time in people's statuses.
Yes. And then the one where in the 90s, remember when Bill Gates was going to give everybody like 0.001 of a penny for every, or a dollar or whatever, or penny, you know, whatever, 10 cents for every email that was on this email chain. So don't break the chain and copy everybody. And you're, do you remember that? Yeah. I'm sure you got that 1700 times. Oh my gosh. People hate that crap. So don't do that.
Yes.
All right. The second thing is copying or sharing messages that say things like, I don't usually do this, but, or let's see how many people will read this, or unfriend me now if, like, okay.
We're like all rolling our eyes right now.
Exactly, because people hate that. Because it's not, because it's not, those are not messages that are connecting messages. Those are messages that are exclusionary. And they're not authentic. They're not true to the person. Like they saw it somewhere and they're copying it and pasting it. And it's like, no, you know, and even the ones where they say, you know, let's see who of my friends will, you know, care about veterans or care about suicide or care about autism or like whatever, you know, their causes, that maybe they do have a real connection to that cause, but they're like copying and pasting this ridiculous, like, blech. And like, if you want to share something that you have a specific cause of, you could even say, you know, I saw somebody posting that thing. Maybe you saw it too. And I'm not going to copy and paste that. But let me tell you what happened with me. Or let me tell you what happened with my neighbor or my cousin or my uncle or my kid or somebody that, you know, when I grew up, what happened, you know, or whatever. Like, make it personal. And then people will respond, you know. And if you want to put the phone number for the, you know, the national hotline, because you think that that's important and you want to put it out there, awesome. Then put it there as part of, you know, part of your status. But now people will read it. And that's a connection thing as opposed to an unfriend me now if, or let's see how many people, like, oh, for goodness gracious sake.
Yeah.
So when I see unfriend me now, you know what I do? I unfriend them. I don't even read the whole rest of the thing. Like, okay, great. Cause that'll clear me out some space.
So what you're saying is that you can copy it to a point, or at least what they're talking about.
Copy the sentiment.
Then, yeah, copy the sentiment. What they're, again, yeah, the subject. Add your own little two cents to it. Be like, hey, you know, you might have seen something about this, and then add your little personal touch to it. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if that's, you know, if it's a case or a cause that is important to you, then, you know, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I actually had a cousin who used one of these that was going around. So I'd seen it all week and they used it, but it was exactly the same form. Mm-hmm. And I asked them, I'm like, why are you sharing this? It's just a copy and paste thing. And they're like, but why would you question our message? Our cousin is actually, or our relative is actually ill. And so that's why we're posting it. And I was like, well, how the heck was I supposed to know that? Because there's nothing specific in it. And I saw it 20 times on people's posts that they don't even know you. So I know it's just a chain thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's not meaningful.
Right. It's not meaningful. So how did I know to even start thinking of them?
Right.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then what that does now, what that did was it made a little weird awkwardness between you and your cousin.
Because instead it was of like a moment where I could actually support them, exactly. Which is what you want to do.
Exactly.
In that situation.
Yeah. So that's, you know, a bummer. So, like, let's not have that happen. All right. So the third one is, and you're going to roll your eyes at this one too, is constant raging against whatever you think is wrong with the world at large or in your own little world. It could be politics. It could be religion. It could be business. It could be like whatever. Like the constant raging. Can we get over it? That would be nice. There were people, you know, this last election cycle, the 2016 presidential election, which felt like it started in 2014. You know, there were people who never, ever talked about politics ever on social media. All of a sudden, every single post was this horrible raging and the other side are evil and awful and ignorant and idiots and, you know, on and on and on and on and on. And it's like, for real? Like, it's one thing if your world, if your business is politics, if you're known for talking about politics. I have a handful of friends who exactly are that. Well, then I would expect them to be talking about politics. And by the way, they're not constantly raging. They're like having engaging discussions, right? And conversations. Yeah. But you know, just kind of random folks. Yes, I understand that we as human beings feel emotional about things and we get, you know, we get upset about something or we get angry about something or, you know, we see something that's wrong and it's like, hey, I want to do something. And it feels like when you type those words that you're doing something, but you're not. You're sitting in your house, you're sitting wherever you are, and you're typing on your phone, on your tablet, or on your computer. That's not doing something. That's saying words. So it's okay if you want to say something once, fine. But you don't want to alienate, especially for those of us who are using social media for work. 50% of the people who are likely to work with you are not going to agree with your political stance. They're just not. Mm-hmm. So now when you say anybody who thinks like this is an idiot, you're calling 50% of your possible folks idiots. They're never going to buy from you ever. Yeah. So now you're stabbing yourself, you know, in your own back. I don't know. You're like
stepping on your own feet.
Yeah. Thank you. Whatever. Like, it's bad. So why would you do that just because you're having a momentary reaction to something that's happening in the news cycle that is going to be gone in 3 days and they'll be talking about something else for you to be mad about? Like, don't jeopardize your business or your relationships because of something that isn't actually even happening to you. Mm-hmm. And if you do feel strongly about something, well, then do what I've seen a few of my friends now do. They're actually running for office. Great. That's doing something. Or go volunteer somewhere that will actually help people in with whatever issue it is that you're so terribly upset about. Like, that is what will help. But the raging is terrible. And so one of the things that I recommend people do is they should do a social media audit of their own stuff. So go to your own Twitter feed, go to your own Facebook feed, not like when you log in and you see all your friends, but like go and see what you've written. Go look at your LinkedIn. Most people on LinkedIn aren't raging too much. They're pretty professional over there. But between LinkedIn or Facebook and Twitter, there's a lot of people angry about a lot of stuff. So go look at your own profile and read it as if you're a visitor who's considering working with you or a visitor who's a high profile person in your community who might be thinking, hey, you know what? I ran into this person at church and I wonder if they would be somebody that I would want to be friends with. Okay. What's that person going to think? What's the person who's looking to hire you to be on their stage or to be a consultant or whatever it is, right? What's that person going to read that and look at you as? So maybe you have one post where you're upset about something because you really feel like you need to do that. But if all of your posts are that, it doesn't communicate the whole essence that is you. Your social media should communicate the whole essence that is you, not complain. But what else you got going on in your life other than the one thing you're pissed off about?
Right. Well, and just to get off the political tangent a little bit as well, don't use it to just rant about daily life either, because there's a lot of people that do.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever's wrong, again, in the world at large or in your own little world. So they're complaining about, well, this happened at my kid's school and I can't believe they did that. And this happened in the neighborhood. I can't believe they did that. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it doesn't, any kind of complaining that's a constant complaining really, really reflects negatively on the person who's the complainer, as opposed to where they want it to be is, you know, they want their, they think they're thinking they're shining a light on the problem that they're seeing, but they're really shining a light back to themselves. It's kind of like, you know, whenever, when you interview for a job, and if you really did leave your last position because your boss was a jerk and you worked with a bunch of idiots, you can't say that in the job interview. Why did you leave? Well, my boss was a jerk and I worked with a bunch of idiots, so I quit. Like, who looks like the jerk and the idiot? It's the same kind of thing happening on social media when somebody is constantly complaining about whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So what's the next one?
All right. So the next one's number four. Making public what should be private. You know, there's sometimes there's people, you know, you'll see some vague booking kinds of things where somebody's like upset about something but they don't want to actually say what it is, but they're going to, you know, don't you hate it when people, friends stab you in the back? Like, what?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's cringeworthy. Anything cringeworthy irritates people. So, you know, like that kind of thing, if you're upset about something, well, then reach out to the person and say, hey, listen, this is how I'm feeling. I saw this, or we had this interaction, or whatever. Like, deal with, that's a personal situation that you need to deal with on a personal level. However it is that you deal with it in that moment, whether you're going to resolve the conflict or you're going to continue the conflict, it doesn't need to be social for the whole world to see. So those are the kind of, you know, that's what I'm talking about by, you know, making public what should be private.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is, this is the, ugh, for those of us who are heavy users of social media, this is so irritating where, you know, you, for me, I, because I'm always at that 5,000 limit, friend limit, or, you know, with Twitter, there's no limit at all. Or in LinkedIn, there's no limit at all. So I love to meet new people. I love to interact with people. If I have a certain number of folks in common, or we're in a same, you know, the same group, or, you know, I see something that's in common, I'm happy to accept a connection request from somebody, just even though I've not met them in person. But what is what breaks that connection immediately is that first immediate, that first DM from Twitter, that first message into your private inbox that, you know, hey, buy my stuff. Hey, thanks for connecting with me. Go visit my website and get my free thing. Like, really? How do you even know I want your free thing? We don't even know each other. We have never even had a conversation. How do I, like, no, I'm not doing that. And then I have to block you. Now that's too bad, because you were probably a nice person who just didn't know what you're doing. And in fact, that happened. This happens all the time on LinkedIn, because people are using LinkedIn for business and they're really trying to sell their stuff. Well, it happened one day where, I don't know, I was feeling extra snarky about it. And so I wrote a post on LinkedIn about it. That's the most viewed post. I had hundreds and, I mean, I had thousands. I had like 5,000 views of that post. Whoa. And hundreds of comments. And a lot of people are like, oh, give them a break. Like, oh, because you're doing it. Is that why we're giving them a break? And I had, but the majority of responses were, amen, thanks. I hate that. You know, like, why do people do that? And maybe I do want or need their stuff, but I don't want it shoved down my throat the first second that I say hi. You know, it's like being at a networking meeting and you're, you know, you walk up to somebody and they, you know, and you go, hi, I'm Felicia. And they go, hi. And, you know, I'm JC. And I go, awesome, JC. I bet you would love my stuff. Here, buy this right now. What?
It's so unnatural.
It's totally unnatural. It's not the way people in real life
get. And see, that's just the thing is, like, okay, so Facebook, I get. All right. And so I'm trying to, and, you know, I've been making it a regular practice of mine to, you know, do social media on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'm to a point where I see, especially with Twitter, I can see its usefulness now, which for a long time, that's kind of a big deal for me to actually say that, because for the longest time, you know, being a new user, all you see is just like, random little messages thrown out into the world. But then you realize the thing that you can do with Twitter that you can't do with Facebook is that you can reach out to larger names or people that you're not even connected to that you might have heard on the radio or you might have just heard, you know, et cetera, or you see on TV or whatever. Okay. So big difference there. And the thing is that like what I see in building my accounts on these other platforms is that like Instagram seems to be made out of bots for the most part, as does Twitter, because a lot of what you're saying is going on there. It's like, you know, you'll tweet something or, you know, just whatever, even if it comes from Facebook or whatever. I mean, you'll say something and then it'll like, someone will add you and then you might add them back and then they'll un-add you. And it's just like a numbers game for, especially for Instagram and Twitter. And then for LinkedIn, I don't know. It just seems to me that my vibe of LinkedIn is just like, especially in our niche, that we just see post after post after post of, you know, people's blogs, or which I'm kind of guilty of doing myself because I don't know what the heck's going on LinkedIn for that matter. But, but you know, the thing is that, yeah, it's a living Rolodex, and that's just about it from what I see with LinkedIn. So anyway, yeah, it's yeah, I'm guilty of some of the things that you're saying, but at the same time, it's like, what else are you supposed to do there?
Well, you know, the thing about social media is it's very difficult to communicate on multiple forms of social media, multiple platforms, I'll say, in a very meaningful way. So you kind of got to pick your lane and stay in it, and maybe you branch out to one other one. So if you got Facebook and you got it down and it's working for you, then hang out there and occasionally you can jump onto the other ones. But if you're really doing most of your main interaction on one, then it's okay to stay there. And my suggestion would be, if you're using social media specifically for work, then where are the people who would be your ideal connections? And your ideal connections are people who you can best serve, that would be able to buy from you, or those that you could, that would be maybe willing to or interested in promoting you in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe the people who would be your peers and be able to have those, this kind of crazy thing happened, and what do you guys think about this? Or does this ever happen in your business? And what do you think about that? Or what tool are you using for XYZ or whatever? Like, where are those people generally as a whole, if you were to think of them as a community? Are they mostly on Facebook? Great. Well, then Facebook is your place. Are they mostly on LinkedIn? Great. Then LinkedIn is mostly your place. Are they on Twitter? Maybe. And, you know, Twitter is probably the easiest one to kind of step in and out of because of Twitter chats, tweet chats. Mm-hmm. They use, you know, and they use a hashtag, and there are lots of groups that will have like a weekly tweet chat. So you could go to your Twitter chat once a week and follow that hashtag from whatever that chat is. And you'll get lots of actual real people followers, not bots, who will follow you back because they know you're interested in the same kind of stuff. And for both Twitter and Instagram, it's really about the hashtag. You can connect with people and they'll find you, and you can find them based on the hashtags that you use and that they use. So that would be my suggestions around those, if you want to make those kind of the places where you're really hanging out, or you want to make those the places where when you go there that it doesn't feel like you've just wasted a ton of time. So Twitter and Instagram are all about the hashtags. Focus on them, find other people who are using those hashtags, and you'll likely find people that you really can connect with around the stuff that you're interested in, that you talk about, and that is meaningful to you.
Hmm. Good pointers. Good job. Thank you.
Yeah. So what are you currently starting work on, or what are you excited about specifically in the future?
Well, right now I'm working on the book. I'm working on the Real Relationship Challenge book, which is why I'm so grateful that you invited me here today to talk about this. This is my fourth full-length book. I had to think, like, what were the books I did? Fourth full-length book now. And so I'm excited about that and finishing the writing process and speaking more about it and getting feedback from folks about it and listening to really great questions to help me flesh out the book and put things in it that people really are interested in. So thank you for having me around this topic specifically. So, but I'm most excited about that. And I really feel like going forward, talking to people about these, you know, about building real relationships it's the future for me because it's so important. You cannot succeed in life without other people, without having help from other people and having those relationships and developing them so that they're win-win situations. And I like to even talk about win-win-win. You know, for example, this podcast, well, it's a win for me because I get to be on here and you all will be sharing me with your audience. So that's a win for me. Maybe some people will visit my website or you know, eventually when the book is published, they'll buy the book or maybe they'll look and go, oh, she sounds like she knows some stuff. Maybe I'll buy one of her existing books, right? Well, that's all a win for me. Well, it's a win for you too, because you're doing a podcast. You need to have guests. And so like you found somebody who knows some stuff. That's a win for you. Well, it's also a win for the people who are listening because maybe they've heard something today and they'll be like, you know what? This was really good. I'm gonna make sure I do more of that or less of that on social media or when I connect with people or they heard an idea, you know, or Veronica's awesome idea about having people over, you know, once a week or once a month. Like, I love that. So now that's a win for the folks in your audience. So that's a win, a win, and a win. Those are the kinds of relationships that I like to develop and the kinds of activities that I like to do. So, you know, and teaching people more about what that looks like and how to really do that in real life, I'm excited about the possibilities and what's coming up around that.
Awesome.
So awesome. So you've got this book in the works and you've written books before, but as an author also, what are your three favorite books that you tell others about that you haven't written personally?
Okay. Bob Berg, The Go-Giver. Well, Bob Berg and John David Mann, but John David Mann is kind of the quiet one and Bob's out there. So that's probably one of my very, 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 very favorite books ever in the whole world. So if you've not read The Go-Giver, go read it now. Thank you very much. let's see. I'm looking at my bookcase right now. Frank McKinney's The Tap. Frank McKinney. Mm-hmm. Frank is a very successful real estate developer and develops spec homes for millionaires. And has been featured on all kinds of cool places, HGTV and Nightline and blah, blah, blah. And he wrote a book called The Tap, and it's how to recognize moments where God is tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, you, go do this thing, which is just, you know, a really powerful kind of thing. It's about really being able to tune into your intuition and listen for the voice of God in your life. So for me, that was that's a really powerful book. And then I only get one more, huh? All right. So I'm torn between two of them. All right. So that former chef that I talked about, his name is Brian G. Johnson, and he wrote a book called Trust Funnel. And it's about how to really connect with people and build relationships with customers that are real and develop that trust so that people will you know, people buy from those they know, they like, and they trust. So Trust Funnel by Brian G. Johnson. Don't leave out the G. So those would be three that I recommend. I love those.
Awesome.
Cool.
It's like you just said, what's your favorite kid? And I had to pick three out of hundreds.
I get that. the struggle's real.
I know. So
next rapid fire question. Name one thing that costs under $100 that has changed your life. $100.
My Yeti was $100. My Blue Yeti microphone. I really love it, which sounds silly, but it is that. Oh, you know what else? I'll tell you. All right, I'm going to scratch that one. The thing it cost me $100 was a class that I took called Dressing Your Truth, and it's all about how to express who you truly are on the inside, on the outside. So that has changed my life in the last 5 months. And that was a class. And I think I paid $97 for that. So
cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What advice do you hear adults giving children often that you call BS?
I would say do what you love and the money will follow. That's we hear adults say that all the time. And you probably have had guests on your show say that. And you like, okay, well, I love cooking in my kitchen with my kids for my family. There's no money coming to me after that.
Like,
there's not. And I, at one point in my life, I did consider cooking as a career. And I realized it would suck all the joy out of cooking for me. Because if I made it my work, I worked in kitchens. I was a waitress in restaurants. I was a waitress for a lot of years. Even after when I was teaching college, I was like, I'm going to wait tables on the weekends because it's fun to meet people and have cash in my pocket. I was still single, didn't have kids. So, you know, yes, do what you love. And if you want the money to follow, find a way for the money to follow. That's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way. There always is.
What are three truths that you've learned over time that you'd want others to know? Notice we like things in threes around here.
Yeah. Three things I have learned that I want other people to know. Okay, so one is that any kind of communication is a skill, and there are no born speakers. There are no born communicators. There are no born salespeople. Every communication skill is learned. And so anything that you want to do around developing any kind of relationship, you can, whether it's speaking on stage, whether it's selling something to anybody, whether it's being good in a relationship, in a marriage or friendship or whatever, you can learn the skills to be successful. So that would be the first one. Two more. I would say that this is kind of practical stuff that people ignore. You only have one body. And as somebody who is a survivor, almost 5-year survivor of non-smoking related lung cancer, I'm here to tell you that when your body is not right, nothing else in your world can be right. So take care of the one body that you have, because that's all you got. And whether you're here for a little bit of time or a long bit of time, you want that body to be performing at its optimal levels so that your brain can perform at its optimal level so that you can be around for the people who love you and live out your life's purpose. And then the third I would say is that you have impact. And I learned this from a friend and mentor. This is another book I recommend, Impact, by Ken MacArthur. Do you see how I snuck another one in there? But it doesn't matter what level of success you've had in your life. It doesn't matter, whether you're someone who's a public kind of a figure, whether you've got a business that's a real big business or a small business or no business at all, or whether you're working outside the home or you're not working, it does not matter. Every single one of us has impact on somebody else's life. And some of us have impact on, and most of us have impact on far more lives than we can imagine, because there's people out there that are seeing us, that are watching us, that, maybe you'll never speak to, or, maybe they'll only see you one time, but they see you, for example, move the shopping cart from the middle of the parking lot and put it in the corral. And they go, you know what? I'm not going to leave my shopping cart in the middle of the parking lot because somebody else has to move it. And that impact their life. And it's a little mundane thing, but to the person whose car it saved from getting a ding and the 5 days of dealing with insurance and a car repair because of the ding they got from a cart, that impacted their life. So while you may think that your life is not very meaningful, every single person impacts others in ways they cannot even imagine.
Yeah, very true.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's actually the perfect segue to the last question. How can someone be a difference maker in their community?
You can be a difference maker in your community by being awake, aware, and mindful, mm-hmm. and willing to help. So again, moving the shopping cart out of the middle of the parking lot. That's an easy thing that takes an extra few seconds of your day. Look for the people and the places that are asking for help. We need help with this. Could you help us? Don't ignore it. Say yes. You don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to be a doormat. You don't have to be, you know, whenever anybody asks every single time, you don't have to say yes. I'm not saying that in any way, shape, or form. But I'm saying if you want to make a difference in your community, look for the things where you can make a difference and volunteer. Say yes. Mm-hmm. Say yes to help. And saying yes could be something that takes a few seconds to something that you end up committing what eventually could be years of your life to helping. It doesn't matter. There are lots of people who need lots of help, lots of causes, lots of opportunities every single day, all day long, if you are awake and aware and mindful and willing to say yes.
As we're wrapping up today, I gotta ask you an action step question, and really want to know, what are a few things that, as we're getting off here, and someone's like, "Man, that was a long talk." Well, yeah, it was, but it was good. It's a good talk, and I appreciate you being on. What are some things that the person can do to be a better communicator, a better, like, right away, just start relating with the people in their lives a little bit better?
Well, first of all, if somebody's still listening after all this time, thanks. You're awesome. My kind of person. So if somebody wants to be a better communicator, I think choosing and making the decision that that's what you want to do, that's really all it takes is, I want to be a better, I want to be in real relationships. Okay, well then look at the REAL. Are you respecting people? Are you engaging them? Are you affirming them? Are you laughing with them? Do those four things. Respect, engage, affirm, and laugh. When you do those things, you will develop your relationships.
And if they want to connect with you further, where can they find you?
Well, my main website is FeliciaSlattery.com. I blog there, and I Google me, Felicia Slattery. You know, your favorite social media, I'm Felicia Slattery there. So connect with me. Let me know that you heard me on the Angles of Latitude podcast with JC and Veronica. And I will be happy to be your friend. Just don't ask me to buy your stuff in 10 seconds after I say yes. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, Felicia, thanks again for being on, and really, really a lot of good stuff in this one. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And there you guys have it. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Felicia today. Lots of great content in that one, so much so that it was hard for me to pull anything out, and hence the reason why it was an extended talk. As mentioned, Felicia has been all over the web, so there's plenty of other content to continue on with the conversation with her today. The first video I have for you in the show note extras found over at the show notes at newinceptions.com/96 is called How to Write a Speech in 5 Minutes. And funny enough, this is something I didn't think was possible. The video itself is only 2 minutes long, so totally worth the watch if you have a speech that you need to get ready for quickly. Next up, before she moved to Knoxville, she did a local TV segment for their NBC affiliate about networking at a picnic. And I have to admit, the times I've been to Maria's company functions over the years, there's been several of them where I've been having to network with people that, you know, have the traditional 9-to-5. But the thing was, is that I wasn't that odd guy over in the corner. And you never know who you're going to meet at these kinds of functions. So it's definitely a pretty important skill set to have. And also in this conversation, she goes on to introduce one of her books called Kill the Elevator Speech, in which I think many people should still probably read. Even today, I run across so many people that, you know, in networking meetings that when I start talking to them, it doesn't take them too long before they go into their whole introduction of who they are and what they're about. And without me ever asking, it is just awkward. And that's really not how you do any of this. That's not how this works. third on this week's list is a video I found of her and Joel Kahn. And apparently they did a video series on how to be a great presenter. And this is the outtakes from that series. And if you know who Joel Kahn is, you'll definitely get a kick out of this because it's just hilarious. So go check that one out. And finally, she mentioned that one of her favorite books was Trust Funnels by Brian G. Johnson. And in this video, she starts it off by talking about his newest book, Two Rituals, Volume 1, and then goes a bit further into her own success rituals that she practices. So that pretty much wraps things up today, gang. Thanks again for joining us. Let us know how you like the show. We love those reviews on iTunes. And if you're using the podcast app on your iPhone, which I know that many of you guys are by the stats that I'm seeing, you can simply hit the little, you know, little reviews tab right there in the middle and add your own review there. Just takes a couple of seconds, guys. Really appreciate that. Or if you're listening on your desktop, you can go open up your browser, your favorite browser, probably Chrome these days, right? And you can go over newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Those of you who haven't been listening to us on iTunes, and maybe you're listening to us on SoundCloud because that's the source that the show sounds the best from. I'm sorry, but there's some other things that it just really sounds kind of tinny, and it's just, I don't know. I like SoundCloud. But we love seeing the comments that you guys put over there. So use SoundCloud because that's where we see everything. If you have any questions about a particular guest or comments on the show itself, send us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Don't forget, if you want to connect with Felicia directly, of any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group there on Facebook, and you can get directly to it by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And next week's show, Veronica and I get together again to interview an Aussie who's created a website for expats who want to do work remotely. And his name is John Ashbury, and his new business is called Travel Gig. You know, I learned about John in a thread on Reddit, and it seemed like a really great idea for those who might not necessarily want to take the traditional entrepreneurial route, but still want to move and live abroad. If that sounds like you, you don't want to miss out on this one because not everybody wants to make their own dime. I understand that. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have him on. To make sure you're informed when it does go out, all you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So guys, that's it for session 96. Hard to believe that we're coming up to that big milestone of the big 100 sessions in. Do you guys think we should do anything special for it? Would you like to have an interview of me, for example? Would you like to get a special guest on? Would you just like to kind of do a recap of, you know, maybe our favorite shows of the last 100 episodes? Let us know. You can always email us, or again, just let us know on Facebook or whatever works for you. Twitter is good too. If you haven't done so already, go check out Fizzle for 5 weeks free by going over to newinceptions.com/fizzle. And so that said, I appreciate you guys joining Veronica, Felicia, and myself. And until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.